It is good to be here this evening. Do you mind if I take my coat off, or is that, I'm going to get rid of that thing, and don't even know why I wear it to church, because I don't wear it that long, and man, I tell you what, I enjoy being in the house of God, around the people of God, and it's good to be here. It's even good to be in the South, even though it is Southern Missouri. It's good to be here, and I think y'all still serve sweet tea here in Southern Missouri, isn't that right? Man, I love sweet tea, and you know, real sweet. I mean, it's so sweet, if I run out of syrup, I can pour it on my pancake sweet. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I love it. I love it. I love being in the South around God's people and just being able to fellowship. And even though I have to with Brother Edgy, I still enjoy the fellowship from time to time. And I will put up with it because his wife can flat out cook. And I'm telling you, it was good, man. I'm telling you, I appreciate that. And so it is good to be here this evening. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. I realize it's Wednesday night. Y'all worked all day today, more than likely. And then you got to work tomorrow as well. So I'll try to be respectful of your time. But I want to help you this evening. And most of all, if we could get help from God, I think we would have accomplished something here this evening. And that is my honest goal and desire. And for those of you who have been to camp, I appreciate you coming to camp and everything. And I know it's kind of funny seeing me in a tie because I never wear a tie at camp. Praise God. That's the best ministry for anybody who hates ties as much as me. And so anyhow, I sure appreciate the privilege and honor. Bible says there in verse number or 1 of Luke chapter number 4, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I love those three words there that Jesus used when he said, it is written. We're going to look at three things Jesus said it is tonight in the Gospels here. And we're just going to kind of jump from place to place. And hopefully, it will be a help and a blessing to you. We see here that when Jesus said, it is written, the devil had come to him and he tempted him in a vulnerable position, if you will. Any man who has not eaten for 40 days, obviously when he comes off of that fast from 40 days, the fella's going to be hungry. You know what I'm talking about? I just have a hard time being hungry from breakfast to lunchtime, much less a day at a time or 2 days or 40 days, much less. And so we see here that Jesus comes out and he says, it is written. And man, I just saw that, and then I started flipping through and finding some other things that Jesus said, and I think we'll find it pretty powerful. You know, when Jesus said something when he was here on earth, the whole Bible is powerful, and I'm not taking away from it. But there's something about those words in red that Jesus said when he was here, and it's amazing to me. So we'll jump in this evening, and we'll kind of have a Bible study here for just a little bit. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that you would help me. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to convey the message, so that, God, it is not me that is seen this evening, but rather it is you. Lord, your word says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so, Lord, I pray that that would truly happen. It has happened in song and in worship to you. And Lord, now we look at your scripture to get help from you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for this privilege. In your name I pray. Amen. Jesus said, it is written. You know, when Jesus said it was written, there is so much power in the written words of God. I'm telling you, in the Bible that we have, that book that you hold in your lap right now, that is the most powerful book that has ever been or ever will be. It's an eternal book. It's something that lasts forever. The Bible says in Psalms that his word is settled in heaven forever. So in other words, it's there, buddy, to stay. It ain't leaving. It ain't changing. I'm telling you right now, God gave you that book. That book is what changes lives. It is the only thing that can change you. It can help you. It can fix your life. It can put your life back together. That's it. There's all these self-helps that are out there. There's all these things that exist that people try to get you to have a better self-esteem about yourself. But my friend, our self-esteem doesn't matter a lick of beans. But I'm telling you right now, that book you hold in your lap, the book that we call the Word of God, that written Word of God is the most powerful thing that ever existed. There was a young man that was playing football and he played at a large high school. He was captain of the football team, a great football player. And whenever he was there, they had a Teen for Christ rally. Now, this boy had a rough home life. And in his home life, he would come home every Friday night after a football game. He'd find his parents drunk and passed out on the couch. Many times he'd have to clean up the vomit, the filth from his parents. I mean, he had a rough life. Rough life. Drugs, divorce, several times divorced. And I mean, the boy had it rough. So he goes to a Team for Christ rally that was taking place at his football field where he was playing football. And on the way out, somebody handed him a gospel tract. He had heard the gospel, but they handed him a tract with about three verses on it. And when he walked out the stadium gates there, he just stuck it in his pocket and he went home. And for whatever reason, and obviously we know now it was the Holy Spirit of God, but whenever he got home, he just had to read it. And so he pulled it out, he opened it up, and he read the plain gospel of Jesus Christ. Three verses. He got on his knees beside his bed. He received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now listen to me, that didn't change the fact that his parents were still drunks. It didn't change the fact that he still lived in a rough home life. But I'm telling you, it changed his entire destiny. And so later on, God called him to preach. He was an interim pastor at a church at 17 years old, a senior in high school. He went on to Tennessee Temple College there, a Bible college, and graduated. And then he moved to Rosebud, Arkansas, and started Triple S Christian Ranch. And I'm telling you, he has boys that are serving God in the ministry. And that man is my daddy, John Bishop, because of three verses on a small piece of paper. Hey, it changed my destiny, my mom's destiny, his entire life was turned upside down because of the written word of God. I'm telling you what, there is power in the word of God today. Hey, there's power over sin. When he came out of the mountain there, the devil tempted him. In verse 4, he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil took him up into a high mountain, showed unto him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and glory, for that is delivered unto me. And he saith unto him, I will give it, if thou therefore wilt worship me at this time. And Jesus answered him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. You know, Jesus was the only sinless man to ever live. Yet he combated the devil with Scripture. When I was reading this, I thought, that's how intriguing is that. He's the only man that had the power to never sin, never mess up, never make a mistake. I'm talking about the sinless, spotless Son of God himself. And yet when the devil came to him and tempted him, I'm telling you, he used the word of God to combat the devil. My friend, what I'm saying is if Jesus used the word of God to combat the devil, then we are foolish if we think that the word of God is not important to memorize. The word of God is not important to put in our lives and put first and foremost in every part of our life. My friend, we are foolish to think that. And so therefore, I say to you tonight that the word of God gives us power over sin. But not only that, it gives us provision from temptation. The Bible says he makes a way of escape. He makes a way of escape. In other words, because of God's word, he doesn't give you a chance necessarily when it's actually in the moment. But I believe what that means, the way of escape, is this. He'll teach you how to live so you don't have to say no. That's what this book does. It's just like, if you know you struggle with something, the Bible says to flee from it. In other words, get completely away from it. Then you don't put yourself in a position where you have to say no. My friend, if you're in that position, you can quote all the scripture you want to, but chances are you're probably not going to say no. So stay away from it. You see, that's what the Word of God does for us. It gives us power over sin, provision from temptation. But the best part about it is this, is he gives us the power of the Spirit of God. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. My friend, what it does is, if we put the book in our lives, God will put the power on our lives. That's what happens. Lester Roloff. I think he might have had the power of God, maybe. I mean, the guy, he could flat out preach, and he was against everything known to man. And then some. I mean, he was against all of it. He was as old-fashioned could possibly get. I'm talking about, I met a man in Houston, Texas, who got saved from his radio program, and the man had been dead for however long, I mean, years and years, and he's like, man, that Lester Roloff guy changed my life. He came to church. He said, I got saved because Lester Roloff preached. Where does he live? I want to call him and thank him. You know, I mean, but I'm telling you, God is still using him and his ministry that was taking place years and years ago. And just the other day, I found out the reason why I believe this with all my heart is because Lester Olof, every month of his life, memorized one chapter of the Word of God. Month after month after month after month, for year after year after year after year. You think about how many hundreds of chapters of the Word of God, how many thousands of verses of the Word of God. So then when I started thinking about, he was against everything. Maybe it's because he put so much of the Word of God in his life that he honestly was a lot holier than most of us are. That's the difference maker. The Word of God. So when Jesus said, it is written, my friend, he gave us power. He gave us authority. Hey, as Jesus said to his disciples just a few chapters later, he says, you go in my power, my authority, and the power that God gave us is his word. When Jesus said, it is written, what an amazing thing he did for us. Not only that, if you look in John chapter number 6, and I'll hurry here, John chapter number 6 and verse number 20, you can flip over there, and actually verse number 18 will start. And the Bible says, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea. Now that's real good right there. Anytime you see Jesus anywhere, it's a real good thing. And he says, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I. Boy, that is real good right there. Now, I know y'all maybe aren't quite as excited about it as I am yet, but you'll get there in just a moment. When Jesus said, it is I, they were rowing, the Bible says, and they were toiling, they were doing everything. These men knew how to handle the sea. They'd been on the waters before. They'd been in a struggle before, but this time it was pretty stinking rough, and they were working, and they were toiling, and they were fighting. They were doing all that they could. And maybe it was Peter, I don't know who it was, but one of the disciples looked up, looked across the sea, and the wind's boisterous and the waves blowing, and I mean everything taking place, and they look out across there, and they say, man, hey, John, is that Jesus on the sea? Is that Jesus out there in the middle of the ocean? And man, they stopped everything they were doing. And I believe all eyes were on Jesus. And all of a sudden, it didn't matter what the storm was doing. It didn't matter when the waves were boiling up over the boat. It didn't matter how hard the wind was blowing. My friend, they saw Jesus, man. And I'm telling you, it changed the outcome of their lives. It changed them completely. And Jesus, the first words he spoke were not, hey, it's going to be okay, guys. It wasn't, hey, fellas, how you doing? Hey, fellas, you need a little bit of help. But Jesus just said these words, it is I. And I'm telling you right now that some of us, we might be in a situation in our lives where we don't know what's going to happen from this day to the next. And we might have a loved one that's lost. I don't know what it is, but I know this much. We can sure use Jesus to show up in our midst. We can sure use Jesus to show up and say, it is I. And my friend, when he does, man, it will change the outcome of your life. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does for us. He calms the greatest fear. The Bible says, then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at land whither they went. When Jesus said, it is I, all of a sudden, you notice it didn't say that Jesus calmed the storm. It didn't say that he did anything else. He says, Jesus just stepped in the boat. Jesus just got in the ship with them. And you know, sometimes God chooses to calm the storms. And that's great. But sometimes God chooses to calm his child, and that's even greater. See, God doesn't have to fix our problems. God doesn't have to take them out of them. But he did promise he'll never leave us or forsake us. He did promise that he would be there for us. And so tonight, when Jesus said, it is I, and maybe that's what somebody needs here this evening, is for just simply to allow Jesus to step into their boat, so to speak, and quit trying to toil and row on your own and allow Jesus to get in charge. When Jesus said, it is I, he calmed the deepest fear. But not only that, he covered the greatest distance. Hey, the Bible went on and says, and they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land. Hey, that word immediately means right now. I'm talking about this very second. I mean, within a twinkling of an eye. I'm talking about the moment that Jesus' toe touched the boards of them boat. Hey, I'm telling you what, that boat was on the dirt, buddy. I mean, it was on the land. It was on the ground. It was no longer in the water. It was gone. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, why did Jesus so choose to just take the boat to land? I mean, that was a trip they never forgot, sure, and it was great. But then as I was sitting there, it was like the Holy Spirit just said, listen, dummy, I took the boat to land because I cared about them. Now, you may not find that in the Greek anywhere. You might have to read between the lines. But I believe this with all my heart. Jesus could have spoke the word, the water would have been like glass, and they could have rowed to shore. Do you not agree with me? Could have happened in a moment's time. But Jesus took the boat all the way to land. They didn't have to row one more time. They didn't have to work one more second. They didn't have to worry about anything. Jesus did all the work for them. He didn't have to do that, but he did because he cared. And my friend, I got happy when the Holy Spirit of God just told me the reason, hey, it's because I care about you. I care about your problems. I care about you if you're tired and you're worn out and you're weary. My friend, cast your burdens upon me, for he cared for you. Hey, Jesus wants your burdens. He wants your trials. He wants your struggles because he simply cares about you. Man, I love it that Jesus, the Almighty God in heaven, who can do anything at any time, who created all the world, who did everything that you could ever dream or think, he is my everything. And yet he, the mightiest being in all the world, says, I care. When he doesn't have to, he cares. Jesus cares. And I know maybe y'all aren't as excited about it as I am. But to think that somebody like that cares about me, there ain't nobody like him. There's no Savior like Jesus Christ. There's no friend like our Savior, Jesus. I'm telling you, when Jesus said, it is I, oh, he calmed the deepest fear. He covered the greatest distance. But not only that, he created an excitement that was unexplainable. The Bible went on there. In verse number 22, in the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none of the boat there save the one with the two the disciples went into or were entered, and that Jesus was not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. They said, how be it? Basically, here's what they were saying. How did that happen? Jesus was on this side, the boat left. Now, Jesus, the boat, and the disciples, and everybody are over there. That's not possible. And it's not. But with God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So see, here's what happened, is they got in the boat and they left. Jesus walked out on the sea, took the boat and the disciples and himself all to land. They all got on the other side, and here's what had happened. Because God had worked in their lives, everybody else was talking about it. And when God has worked in your life, I don't care who you are or where you live, or whether you're the pastor, or the assistant pastor, or a Sunday school teacher, or just somebody who parks their hind end on the church pew, my friend, when God starts working in your life, my brother, I got to tell you, it starts causing a commotion around the world. People know there's something different. People know that God's all over you. People know you have a walk with him. And my friend, there ain't nothing like it. The influence we can have on people in this world when we've seen God work, and when God shows up and says, it is I. That's why, my friend, we should have Jesus in this service as often as we possibly can. We should have services where when we walk out of here, we lay blame to no man, but rather we lift up Jesus because he has been in our midst and he has said, it is I. And when we do that, buddy, there won't be a seat open in this joint. You don't have to have music. You don't have to have contemporary music. You don't have to have any of the worldly stuff that people are bringing out. You just get the power of God and you get Jesus in this place saying, it is I. And folks, you won't have enough room here. You won't have enough room on this property, but rather God will be doing a work that you cannot explain. And people will be talking about it all over the countryside. Because it's him and not me. And that's what happens when Jesus says, it is I. He calms the greatest fear. He covers the greatest distance. He creates an excitement that is unexplainable. I'm about out of breath. Got worked up this evening. The Bible says it is written. He said, it is I. And then I believe the greatest of all, the best one that it could ever be written in all of the Word of God. The Bible says in John 19, just flip over a couple pages. I want you to see this. John 19. Verse number 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus had therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It don't get no better than that. I'm thankful for the written word of God. I am. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that shows up in our midst. I am. But I got to tell you, when Jesus said, it is finished. Oh my goodness, everything that we have, all of our life. I mean, he's the only, you realize tonight, he is the only God in this world who's ever lived, died, and lived again in his own power and strength. He's the only God in this world who ever lived a perfect life, a sinless life. As I said before, never one time making a mistake, never one time having a failure in his life, but rather living entirely perfect. And he hung on a cross as our Savior to die. And he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ himself. When he said, if I be lifted up, the ultimate lifting up. When they raised him up on Calvary's hill and dropped that cross down into the earth, my friend, Jesus was lifted up for the ultimate time. Hey, and I'm telling you what, praise God, he transcended through the ages, and he take 2,000 years ago, he's still just as passionate today as he was 2,000 years ago about Calvary and about saving you and about saving me and about working in your heart and about working in my life. My friend, there is a lot of passion in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, when they hung him on that cross and when he died, the Bible says the temple veil rent in twain from top to bottom. In other words, he ripped open the Holy of Holies where only the high priest could go, and praise God, he took his precious blood, his wonderful blood, his blessed blood, the only blood that could save a man, and he took it, he placed it on the mercy seat, forever changing destiny of a Gentile, forever changing the destiny of the Jews. He placed his blood on the mercy seat of God. Praise his holy name. And I'm thankful today that he's still working and he's still saving souls. He's still changing lives. He's still helping people. He's still making a difference. Hey, God's power ain't quit. God's power ain't changed. The cross hasn't changed. So my friend, if we're not reaching people, what has? We're not seeing people saved. What's different? His power is just as good today as it was 2,000 years ago. Ain't nothing like it. My friend, what I'm telling you tonight is this. I can't help nobody. I don't have that ability. Hey, I might could give some good advice. Probably not. I ain't a real smart fella. But I know this. I can introduce folks to somebody who can change everything about them. I know this much. Hey, I might be able to pull out a few dollars and give somebody. I might be able to buy somebody's meal. But I ain't going to feed them for a lifetime. But my friend, I can introduce them to somebody who can change their ways. Hey, one old lady was going in the church. She was working, and the guy said, how do you know Jesus turned the water into wine? She said, I don't know if Jesus turned the water into wine, but in my house, hey, he turned the beer into groceries, praise God. And I'm thankful today that God may not be turning the water into wine, but he's sure still changing lives. He's still working. He's still working. And he ain't quit, and he ain't going to. He ain't going to. And I'm so thankful for the cross. So glad he said it is finished. And tonight, maybe it would be just good for us to some of us go home this evening, open up the Word of God, read the accounts of Calvary, think about what he's done for you. Start counting your blessings because of Calvary. I love that song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Hey, this is the best one. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore my burden to Calvary. And He suffered and died alone. Sing it with me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And then that verse goes on and says, Him with the ransomed in glory, His face. My friend, the face of Jesus. You realize we get to see Jesus one day. But until then, He's still working. He's still in our midst. And folks, we got to quit acting like God's dead. We got to quit living like it didn't make that much of a difference. He's our everything. We got nothing without Him. And so tonight, maybe, I know it's a Wednesday night, and I'm talking to the choir who comes out, man, praise God, you're faithful. But my friend, maybe tonight, it'd be just a good thing to just fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe it'd be a good thing, hey, just to find a place in this auditorium and bow before the cross, if you will, and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for your Spirit. And thank you for your Word. And just fall in love with Him again. Because I realize, yeah, you love the Lord. You're here tonight. But folks, that relationship with that God, that same God who did all of that, and yet He wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with you. There's some famous people in this world. If they call me right now, I'd tell y'all I can't do anything after the service. I'm going to meet so-and-so. I'm Tim Tebow. He's a pretty cool guy. If he called me right now and said, hey, Luke, would you meet for breakfast in the morning? I'd get on a plane and I'd fly somewhere and meet him. He's a pretty cool guy. If the President of the United States called, never mind. And yet Jesus, every single day of your life, every single day of your life. And we won't change anything to meet with that person. You see, that's the problem. That's the problem. We got the same power. We got the same God. But we don't have the same results. It ain't God that's broke. It ain't His Word that's broke. It's us. It's me. So tonight, would you just fall in love with Jesus all over again? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Word, God, how it speaks to us. Lord, I am nothing. God, you are everything. And God, I pray that tonight, maybe some folks would just take a few moments, maybe come to this old-fashioned altar, say, Lord, my love for you has grown maybe just a little bit cold. God, I just want to fall in love with you again. How marvelous, how wonderful you truly are. And God, right now, I pray that some of us would just drop everything we're thinking about. God, everything we're doing, what we're going to do after church. And Lord, just meet with you. Dear Jesus, I love you. And thank you for Calvary. Thank you for your love for us. In your name I pray. Let's stand with heads.